The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
It's really challenging for you as a betrayed to be patient with hypocrisy and a refusal to end the affair and things like that. I get that. I'm saying for those of you that are just walking through recovery, they're not relapsing, they're not continuing to act out, they're just trying and they're not perfect. Patience is going to go a long way. A compassionate patience with the fact that if they don't know why they cheated, it's okay. They shouldn't know why on their own. They need expert help. I needed expert help to find out why I did what I did. Why would I hold so loosely my family? I don't know. I know now.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You know, when two people stand at the altar and they pronounce their vows on their wedding day, you hope that they have the proper intentions in mind. And nobody wants to stand there and tell the public that they're, you know, they're going to have to, you know, hold from this day forth and forever until death do you part. And sometimes later they're saying, I need out, right? I want a divorce. Could be days, could be years. And, you know, the numbers are pointing that out. For decades, we've been seeing the numbers pretty steady. Almost one in two, you know, marriages end up in divorce. I want to talk a little bit about this today. People who are remaining faithful to their wedding vows, even though one spouse has not been faithful. Or, you know, perhaps maybe they grew cold. I don't know. It doesn't have to be infidelity. And they want out. They want out. It's a tough situation. I was reading an article called The Hidden Martyrs for Marriage. I'll have to get it posted for you. And I was reading about a group of people that are called standers. And it's when a spouse stays faithful to their vows, even if they're abandoned or if they're separation or the other partner says, I don't care, I'm getting a civil divorce, right? These folks stand for their marriage. They stand on the sacrament and the vows they took, knowing that the sacrament of matrimony is permanent, that it's indissoluble, and most hoping and praying and suffering for, you know, the eventual redemption and reunion with their partner. And maybe you're in that situation. If you are, today we're going to open the phones. We're going to take your calls. I'd love to hear from you. Layla Miller is going to be joining me in a minute here, and I want to get her on and get her take on this as well. But you can join me, 888-914-9149. I know a lot of people who have often called and shared their own stories of how they stood this way. The divorce rate amongst Catholics right now, it matches just about the rate in the rest of society. That's really a tragedy. I think there's a couple reasons for it, and there's many, but one of those two is I think we need better formation at the front end. They often call it a conveyor belt. You know, we see divorce on the back end of a marriage because there's been poor formation on the front end. People don't go in truly understanding the sacramental nature of what they're about to engage in. I think that results in all sorts of problems. Maybe they're not ready for marriage. Maybe they're going into it for the wrong reasons. But Catholics, you know, divorce is not a good thing. It goes back to the words of Jesus himself, right? Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. A lot of people are under the impression that the church's stand on divorce is just made up by a bunch of old men, right? And these funny looking hats, you know, they want to make people's lives miserable. They don't understand. You know, it's not the case. It's not the case. It was Jesus who said that, and he said it for your good. And because of no-fault divorce, it's so easily right now obtained in our country. Too many people are falling for the lie that it's going to make their lives better or happier, and it really doesn't. There are times when I think it can be necessary, especially if someone's life is in danger, but for the most part, you know, resorting to divorce, it's an easy way out. And the solution, you know, is to make one of the partners happy. Now, again, if there is violence, if there is abuse, you know, these are different categories, and we'll talk about that. But for Catholics, what happens almost automatically after divorce is seeking the declaration of nullity. It's called an annulment. And that's where somebody comes to the church, accuses their marriage of not being valid for whatever reason. And there are some Catholics, and they aren't married, that's for sure. Of course, they have a legitimate right to an annulment. But there are some whose spouse divorces them and refuses to seek an annulment or even fight for the annulment. They stand on this firm belief that the marriage is valid, that they went into it and they understood the sacramentality of it, and they need to stick it out, and they're going to be faithful to those vows, and they're going to grow in holiness through it. They're going to pray for the conversion and the return of their spouse, and that God will honor that and bless them. Layla Miller's a Catholic writer. She's an author whose passion is church teaching on marriage, family, and human sexuality. And we'll take a couple of your calls today, too. She's been writing about people like this, I think, for a while now. She's the one who gave them that title, Stander. You know, these are standers, those who stand for the truth of their marriage. And you can find out more about her. She's got a web address. It's LeilaMiller.com. Layla Miller, L-E-I-L-A, Miller.com. Hey, Layla, good afternoon. Thanks for joining me. It's good to have you here today.
Hi, Drew. It's great to be with you.
I appreciate what you're doing. I think it's a great topic. It's wonderful for discussion here, and I know it's going to resonate with a lot of people. I'm curious, I know this is your area of expertise. Do you have any sense on how many people there are in the country who may be in the situation where one partner wants out, but they're saying, no, we had a valid marriage, and I'm going to stay, I'm going to pray, and if that means I'm going to grow to be 90 without you, and God calls me home, that's what I'm going to do. This is my vocation. What's your sense of where people are on this?
Oh, that's a really good question. I actually was like pretty much every other Catholic in America. I didn't really even know that this sort of thing was widespread or that it did exist, because they are pretty much hidden. So when I started doing my work on the effects of the children of divorce, which was another hidden kind of topic, I started to hear more about abandoned spouses. And so, and just a small clarification, I didn't make up the term standers. I think a lot of Protestants use that term, and Catholics haven't as much been standing for their vows in the same way that a lot of Protestants do. So then I started hearing that there are Catholics who are doing this, or like if their spouse abandoned them, got a no-fault divorce, went ahead and tried to get the annulment or went to the annulment tribunal, a lot of these folks would contact me and say, you know, I'm standing for my marriage, and I'm a respondent even in this annulment process. I believe in our marriage, and I want to fight for the marriage. And this was, for them even, they thought they were alone. They don't really hear about other people doing that until, you know, slowly, again, like anything else, you start to get maybe a small network of people saying, wait, you're standing for your vow as well? You're standing for your marriage? And then they've kind of, it's come out of the shadows a little bit. So I don't really know how many. I know that most people, even if they are abandoned, don't want to be alone for the rest of their life. So they tend to go along with the divorce, the annulment after divorce, so that they don't have to be alone. That is why this particular type of group of standers are so heroic. And actually, the church has something to say about them, which I never knew as well. So it's all very fascinating.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. I want to get into what the church says. I want to take a few calls for you today as well. But I think, you know, the reason these numbers may be smaller than, you know, than they should be, or that people don't know. I mean, honestly, if I had been divorced, right, young in my marriage, I didn't know my faith so well, you might say, okay, I'm going to look at the annulment. You know, is there a reason that this marriage is not valid? You know, and I think a lot of people do that. It seems that there are a lot of annulments that have been given out. I think the U.S. gives out more than any other country in the world. But, you know, I have so much respect. I know a woman, her name is Bay, whose husband, I don't know all the details of the relationship, but she's remained faithful to him over the years. You know Bay McFarland by any chance, Layla?
I know her very well. Yes, we do a lot of
So you know her story. Share her story, if you don't mind, because she's one of these, you know, she's been doing this for decades now. I mean, for as long as I've known this girl, she has been trying to really, you know, raise awareness and has been praying for that spouse of hers.
Yes, exactly. So so she and her husband even did a Catholic apostolate together. They had several children. That she was, I think, homeschooling. But anyway, her husband left her, abandoned the marriage. Yep. She did not want the divorce. She did not want an annulment. It led her to found an organization called Mary's Advocates. I think you can, you know, just Google that, marysadvocates.org. Yep. But she helps. She's one who actually has a standers group where she helps now other standers. This was a couple decades ago, I think. People who are against this no-fault divorce, just being left, and then the state will be very happy to help you get out. And then there's the whole annulment process, which, again, you kind of have to fight the annulment process if you're the person who wants to defend the bond or be upheld as a valid marriage. And so she helps people negotiate that with even talk to tribunal officials or try to help them navigate through the pain, because you've already gone through kind of the nightmare of family court, which is really quite I'm just going to say it's a really evil system.
Wow.
And after going through that and getting shredded in every possible way, financially, emotionally, you know, mentally, every way, spiritually, then you have to go and try to defend your marriage in a tribunal. So it's just so arduous. It's defeating to so many people. So she really helps people in that manner, and she has a wealth of information on how to support people in that.
Yeah, she's one of those people that are out there, and it was an eye opener for me. I discovered that much later. Let's grab a few calls for you. We will go to John in Bellevue, Washington. If you want to join us, by the way, the number is 888-914-9149. My guest today, Layla Miller, and she'll take your calls. John, good afternoon. You are on the air with Layla.
Buenos tardes, Layla. So my question is about divorce and sin, basically. The church teaches that marriage is the contract itself, you know, to live together. And since every divorce changes the terms of that contract, and since God says that, you know, let no man put asunder, so isn't it true that anyone who divorces without the bishop's permission would necessarily be guilty of putting asunder?
It's a covenant, not a contract, but go ahead, Layla, I'll let you respond.
Well, interestingly, I will say too, in the Catechism, it does say contract,
oh,
but
it
is a covenant as well.
Right.
So, that's the one thing that we have in this nation that's kind of interesting, is that the canon law does say that even separation has to be done with the permission of the bishop, and unfortunately, that's rarely followed. I don't think, you know, I know people who've tried to get the permission of the bishop. It's something they don't even kind of talk about. So that's a whole issue of canon law and, you know, whether the bishops follow that or not. That's not quite my area of expertise, but certainly that is what canon law says.
That's really interesting. You know, the popes have spoken about this, right? I know they, have talked mm-hmm. about being faithful. It was a Pope Leo the 13th, that talked about this as well. I know the code of canon law deals with this. There's a number of documents that are out that a lot of Catholics can go ahead and to ultimately reference, and even John Paul II, you know, he wrote about this as well. I know that you spoke a little bit about him, about the value of the witness of the spouse to even the abandoned partner in all of this. We'll go take another call. Before we do, though, have you seen successes? You know, are there stories of marriages that have been reunited and healed by the prayers and the sacrifice of the other spouse, the one who remained faithful?
Oh, absolutely. I have a book called Impossible Marriages Redeemed, and I reserved the last section of that book for standers stories. And those are people who are still standing. Those are 15 stories. And the previous 50 stories are people who went through really terrible, terrible situations, including breakups and divorces, sometimes multiple divorces of the same person, and then they were able to be reconciled. And I subtitled that, they didn't end the story in the middle. And so a lot of times what happens is we don't know and we can't see what God might have in store for us if we remain faithful, if we have the fidelity of Christ, because as one holy priest told me, Christ is the ultimate abandoned spouse, and he stayed faithful to us, his terribly unfaithful spouse, right, to his death, to his very death. He never broke his sacred promise. So if we imitate Christ by staying faithful to our vow, to our sacred promises, the graces are really untold, and we just aren't, I guess we're in a society where the cross is really difficult. We like to reject the cross, so we're not patient enough to wait, you know, to go through and see what does God have for me if I remain faithful as I vowed on my wedding day.
All right. Well, thank you. John, thank you for your call. Rosemary in Pennsylvania, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Yes, I've called way a long time ago. My husband left me 3 months after our 40th wedding anniversary.
Oh, my. Lord.
And then filed for divorce not long after. I fought it. I contested it. And then COVID happened. Anyway, he finally took it to court. It went through in December. We were married. We would have been married 50 years in February. So And I've got to say, I have four grown children from the middle 40s down to 37, and they are devastated. They want anything to do with him. It doesn't matter how old they are. My one son, who's a big guy in the Air Force, said he won't sleep overnight here because the house is broken. So, I mean, you know, it and I'm legally blind, so it's been difficult for me, but I'm still praying for him.
Wow.
And I was with a whole group of Covenant Keepers this weekend, and we're it's a similar group, and of all different denominations, and we believe in the covenant of marriage and standing for our marriage.
Well,
yes, and you know, you have the backing of the church on this. You have the backing of the Pope, and Pope John Paul in Familiaris Consortio, he says that you are the ones who are to be the witnesses to the rest of us, and you are the ones who should have the support of the church. And too often, the reason I wrote the article to begin with on this was that too often we hear from agents of the church that there's something wrong with a spouse who doesn't move along after being abandoned, that doesn't go and find their own new romance because they're like, supposedly there's something wrong with them emotionally. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, he doesn't want you or she doesn't want you anymore. And so then they get patted on the head and told, you know, go on now and go find someone new. What is the matter with you? When in reality, that person is the one doing what Christ is asking, to carry that cross and be faithful to death. And we don't give enough support and love and credit to those souls. And those are the ones that JP2 said, you know, we need to support and hold up as a witness.
Let me share what he actually wrote in that document. He says, we need to recognize the value of the witness of those spouses who, even when abandoned by their partner, with the strength of faith and a Christian hope, have not entered a new union. These spouses, too, give an authentic witness to fidelity, of which the world today has great need. For this reason, they must be encouraged and helped by pastors and the faithful of the church. This is not talked about. This is not preached. I think this is something that we need to hear a lot more. He goes on, I think in section 83, he speaks to the loneliness and the difficulties of these so-called standards. He says, much respect and solidarity and understanding of practical help must be given so that they can persevere in fidelity, even in their difficult situations. And as you point out in your article, you say he spoke very admiringly of the example of fidelity and what a witness they are both to the world and to the church. What is being done? I mean, this is something, I mean, quite often you hear about divorce and then people look for annulments. You can get a lot of information on that, but is this really a minority? What's the history behind this? How the no-fault divorce is a relatively new thing now. Before this period of annulment and divorce, how did the church deal with a spouse that left the other?
Well, there was really not only just a support within the church, because it was expected that, you know, this was a most holy and sacred vow. I mean, you don't just, it was expected that you would, you know, if your husband went off and had an affair or your wife ran off, the culture itself was more moral at the time, right? We had almost the backup of the culture to back up what the church was teaching already, which is that marriage is sacred, and therefore the bad guy, you know, either the person, because I want to lump another group in here, which is people who have to leave because of addiction or abuse, but they stay faithful even though they're separated, and they wait for someone to get better, right, to get healed. So those people, you know, are also, I count them as the spouse that is the innocent victim.
Yeah, right.
So the ones that are abandoned or the ones that are waiting for their addicted spouse to get better, they live alone. The community would rally around, you know, gosh, you're the faithful one. You're not the guy who, you know, if somebody would commit adultery or something, believe me, the entire family would be on that guy, right? The brothers of the wife or the father, they'd say, hey, dude, you know, get yourself back home. And so it would be that rather than, hey, you know, I guess you guys weren't compatible. Good for you for finding your bliss with this new woman or this new man. And let's all just get our no-fault divorce and our annulment, and we can all move on and be happy.
Yeah.
That was not the mindset when we understood what marriage is. And marriage isn't just about how do the adults feel, and do they feel romantic with each other, and do they feel fulfilled. That was never what marriage was about. It was about a family, children, society, God. It was always more weighty than what it is now.
How different from Gwyneth Paltrow? I think she's the one who said that she and her her husband were consciously uncoupling. Is that the new term that they use? I mean, my gosh, it's crazy where we are. Stephen in Adele, Wisconsin. I hope I got that right. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. actually, interesting thing I didn't know of, that I recently just purchased that book that Layla wrote. I have not started reading it yet. I'm currently in the midst of a divorce that my wife had filed. We've got three young boys, and she currently has a live-in boyfriend with a pretty heavy criminal record that I'm not necessarily obviously comfortable with. And it's very hard for me knowing that I took the vows in front of God in his house and in front of our family and friends to just kind of walk away from that. But it's hard at the same time to continue to want to move forward with our relationship when she is doing so much damage to our family.
Right. And this is something I hear about every week. There's one or two people who call or email me about these exact type of situations. And that's why the standards, a lot of them call their spouse the prodigal, because the prodigal has gone off, right? Wandered off into grave muck, sin, terrible things. And the prodigal, you know, they pray for the prodigal to wake up, to come back. This is not for the faint of heart, but then again, Christianity is not for the faint of heart. Carrying the cross is not for the faint of heart. This is what makes saints. This is what makes us holy. It is not pleasant. The grace of God is with you. You have children, right? You said you had children. These children count on you to be the strong, healthy parent. I will say that in divorces where at least one parent does not move on to another romance and stands for that vow, the children do better because they have a witness of fidelity. Otherwise, they don't see it in either parent. They see nothing but splintering and more complications and loss of any type of stability or identity. The stander is sacrificing a lot by staying and being alone. It's extremely lonely, but they are giving their children something priceless in showing fidelity. Wow. So I have a million things to say on that, but that's just a start.
That's well said. Stephen, I know we prayed for you in the past. We'll continue to pray for you, your wife, and your family, brother. Hang in there. I hope you find that book very helpful. And Layla, is there a resource that he can reference as well? Do you have a website that would be beneficial to people who are in the situation?
I do have my website, leilamiller.net, L-E-I-L-A, miller.net. There's a link called Marriage Resources. There are certain prayers for certain situations for couples who are breaking apart. Yeah. There's different videos and places to access. But I will say, and I'm just going to say it, our church right now is not adequately addressing the needs of the standers. They will offer them annulments, but there's almost nothing. I mean, I'm not kidding you. There's almost nothing for someone in a triage, you know, that we need triage for these marriages when they first start to fall apart. And by the way, JP2 said that, you know, it is very true that valid marriages fall apart. A lot of people want to say, well, if the marriage fell apart, it's not valid anyway. Right. No, valid marriages can fall into disaster, as we know. So we have to figure out a way that parishes, especially on the parish level, diocesan level, we have to find resources to help the abandoned spouses stay faithful and help get that marriage healed. And it's going to take a change in mindset, because right now, I always like to say, we have this reflexive divorce and all move on. Let's stop that reflexive mindset and let's start talking about fidelity again.
Well, let's do this. We'll take a few calls. A lot of people want to get on with us. If you're on hold, I'll do my very best to get you. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll grab your telephone call. And as I go to break, I'll leave you with this thought as well. Pope Leo XIII, you know, he says the mind of the church is, the mind of the church is really shown in his words, in which he says that the grace and truth lie not in moving on, but in fidelity to even the most difficult marriage. And you know, the church should be there to help. He says, when indeed matters have come to such a pitch that it seems impossible for spouses to live together any longer, then the church allows them to live separately. Yet she never ceases to endeavor to bring about a reconciliation and never despairs of doing so. We'll talk about that. That's a tough road to go down. That's for sure, especially if your partner has not been faithful or left you, or you just feel you guys have grown apart. Now, if there's abuse in a relationship, there's grave mental or physical dangers. And we'll talk about that as well. Canon Law speaks to that as well. But my guest today, Layla Miller, by McFarland, just dialed in. I want to get her on the phone, and we'll grab all your calls right after this.
The hope lives here. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's great to be here with you today. Always trying to give you a look at life you won't find anywhere else. Here's a question for you if you're just joining me. Do you know what a stander is? Well, these are men and women who are abandoned by their spouses. Maybe you have been. Maybe it's one of your loved ones. But they're still living out their marriage vows. Some have called them modern-day martyrs for marriage, and boy, do we need some redemption when it comes to marriage. You can take a look at the divorce rate, right? Maybe you or a loved one is going through this difficult situation. If you are, love to have you join me today. This is an unspoken cross that a lot of faithful carry, and we're looking today at what the church teaches, what you should do in these situations, and I am joined by Layla Miller, very gifted author. You could check her out at laylamiller.net. That's her website there. And we'll take your calls and questions. Bay is joining us right now. She is in Akron, Ohio. Hey, Bay, great to have you on the air with us. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Layla and Drew, thanks so much for covering this.
You are welcome. I think of you, Bay. I referenced you to Layla a few minutes ago when this story came up, because you've been in this fight. You've been standing faithful to your marriage for I don't even know how long. Is it what, a couple decades now?
Yes. And Layla had talked about how sometimes clergy and diocese don't even know what to do with people in that circumstance. There's so much pressure, definitely in the secular culture, that if someone wants a divorce and the other party, of course, is supposed to also want the divorce because the marriage is ended. And even in some dioceses, the culture is, oh, if you're divorced, our pastoral care for you, I've even heard of it as called an eighth sacrament. The pastoral Ooh. Care is to just get your annulment. So yeah. if a priest is in one of those dioceses, he's never even heard of the idea of standing for marriage. All he knows is that you offer someone their petition for an annulment. Hmm. So, I mean, at least with Mary's advocates, when I first started getting into this, I was finding the church teaching about separation and divorce. And it was actually beautiful. And it really resonates with people who are in the circumstance that you guys are talking about. So I started compiling all this stuff on Mary's Advocates website. And now there is a network of people who support each other walking that walk.
That's beautiful. And Layla, you're connected to Bay. You know her pretty well, don't you?
Yes. Yes. I mean, we do very similar work. We are hand in hand in this, and I don't have the expertise that she has as far as she's just done so many years of research, and she knows her canon law and all the different types of, forms and resources and people. But I have used her expertise just to learn more about this topic as it came up, because, again, originally my topic was just trying to figure out how the children of divorce suffer, how they fare in the decades after the divorce. And that's when all this, the rest of it came. Because really, divorce has different types of victims. It has the children, always. And then if it's not a mutual divorce, there is always an abandoned spouse or a spouse who doesn't want this marriage to be destroyed. So that's a real big victim as well. And the Catechism talks about both of those categories of victims.
Yeah, Bay, let me ask you about these cases of couples whose husbands have, been physical. There's abuse. Maybe there's grave mental danger as well. What's the church teach regarding that? I mean, how do you handle situations like that?
Sure. The church knows that nobody is supposed to stay in a situation that's gravely, gravely dangerous. But I'm so weary of people saying, oh, I'm emotionally abused. And when you really start asking what they're talking about, what is it really? Is it just that you disagree about things, or that someone chasing you around the house yelling and screaming at you, calling you foul names? But if a situation is really, really grave, the church teaches that separation is tolerable, but not going to the civil forum for civil divorce or even civil separation. Catholics are not supposed to be doing that on their own authority. In the same way that Catholics aren't allowed to marry each other on their own authority, you know, like whatever, in the park, Catholics for marriage are supposed to go to the church authority and put ourselves under the umbrella of Mother Church. And when parties get ready to get married, what the priest is really doing is he is investigating whether you two understand and want marriage. And then you can get married. Well, the same thing is supposed to happen regarding separation, whether there is a legitimate reason for separation. If anyone thinks they need to go to the civil forum for protection, people are supposed to go to the church before they go to the divorce court. And what's been so enlightening to me is that most dioceses have that backwards. They require a civil divorce before they'll look at a petition about annulment, and they don't pay any attention to the canon law about separation of spouses. But we're working on it as best we can.
Well, Bay and Layla, feel free to jump in. So give me some clarity on this. Suddenly my marriage hits the skids, right? I'm married a year, 2 years, whatever. I'll give you an early case. I think it's harder if I'm married for 30 plus years. It's a little harder to make the case. But say you're newly married. You've been 4 or 5 years, a couple of years. Most people want to say, well, maybe there's a reason that this marriage is not valid, you know, and they want to explore the annulment process because they want to be in a relationship. They want to go that other avenue rather than just being a standard. How do you discern whether to pursue the annulment and say, yeah, this is the avenue I probably should take because there might be some good reasons that this was never valid? Or you say, hey, you know what? I made this commitment. I'm in here for the long run. I don't care if I'm 25 or 55. I'm going to remain faithful. How do you parse those things out? Because I think most people would say, let me at least explore whether or not this marriage it was ever valid.
Let me jump in real quick. You're not even allowed to ask the question unless you get a civil divorce first, according to dioceses. And I think those dioceses are not following the actual canon law.
Every diocese doing that? You're making the claim that every diocese does that?
I've not found one that doesn't.
Wow.
You know,
and then Layla, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this because, if you go and look at it, there's some 1955 pamphlets that were for popular use of reprinted 14 different times on marriage and annulments and by a great priest, from, I don't know, I think it was Notre Dame Press or something, and I have copies of them. You can go through, and they talk about the reasons for, impediments. What are the impediments that could be proven to be, this marriage is invalid? There's a Q&A section, and one of the Q&A sections I always bring up to people is this guy who says, hey, my buddy got married, and he was married 4 months. He's a young guy, and his wife dumped him, and now she's on her fourth husband. And he just really would like to date, he'd like to be, what can we do? And this priest basically says what the mind of the church always has been and always will be. If there's not something really obvious, and he said there might be a 1 in a million chance that this is not a valid marriage, your friend's marriage. But except for that 1 in a million chance that there's an impediment that nobody knew about, this man is married and he can't date. And he made a vow, and he doesn't want to go to hell like he might find her there. So in other words, we have this understanding that a sacrament, when the church vouches for a sacrament, that's it. And unless you find out, that he had some objective or there's some objective impediment, that's it. And this is a cross that God then is asking you to carry. And yes, it is difficult to carry crosses in life. Look at the Christian martyrs, right? But we're not used to that, and we want what we want, and we want romance, and I get it. But you can't suddenly just open up and this is a whole other topic probably, Drew, for another day, but you can't suddenly just say, hey, maybe we could find a reason. Maybe you were a little immature when you got married, or maybe, you know, you were, well, who isn't immature when they get married, right?
Right.
That was never seen as an impediment before. So now we've kind of psychologically opened it up to almost anything. And so I would say, again, this is just me kind of going with the mind of the church up until very recently in America, there better be some real impediment there, that you're not just going fishing, right? Let's find something to get out so that I can go and get remarried. That's not how Christ would have us look at a sacrament, and we don't want to be legalistic so that we can skirt the moral law in order to get what we want. That it's very difficult, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But fidelity is its own reward, and virtue is its own reward. I mean, you know, that's how we used to think about these matters of honor.
I want to go back to the phones, and I appreciate everybody's patience. But before I do, I'm going to throw this to both of you. I had seen last week an article where there's an upcoming document on divorced remarried Catholics. Mm. I think Cardinal Kevin Farrell announced that the dicastery for laity, family, and life is right now, they're in the early stages of preparing a document that will address the challenges of divorced Catholics in these irregular unions. What do you know about that, if anything? Is there some document coming out that's going to shed a different light on this issue?
I saw that article, and I also saw some quotes that were attributed to Pope Francis, where Pope Francis supposedly said that Pope Benedict says that if you don't have faith, you have an invalid marriage. And he was taking things out of context, so I noticed that. People who have no faith whatsoever can still enter a perfectly valid marriage. You don't have to be a saint or a super advanced faith to be married. All you have to know is, I don't want my spouse to commit adultery, and I'm not planning to ever commit adultery. We're going to be sexually faithful. We're open to children. And you know what? I want this to be permanent. I don't want some replacement mom to take my place. If you know that, you're capable of entering marriage.
Yeah. I was...
If they come out with a document that's contrary to longstanding magisterial teaching, it'll just be erased in coming decades.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if they do. And I always want to come to the defense of the Holy Father. So often his statements are taken out of context. I didn't read what he had to say, but I'd be very curious to see what context it was in. Let's take a few calls. There has been fruit. I know there have been many people who said, I'm going to pray for the conversion of my spouse. I had one on the air during the Chapel of Divine Mercy. A woman was getting ready to be divorced. She decided to stay faithful to her husband. And he went about his own way, but she prayed and prayed and prayed. And her prayers were answered. He came knocking on the door when she was selling the home that they had once both owned together. And he came back, this is years later, and apologized to her. They ended up talking, having dinner that night, and ultimately were reunited. So God can heal, and I think there's a lot of power in our sacrifice. Martha's listening in California. Martha, hi. You are on the air with Layla Miller and, I believe, Bay McFarland.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was going to back up. Thank you, Layla, for what you're doing. I was going to back you up on the annulment issue. Right now, we've been married for 56 years. Mm. But when I was close to 25 years married, my husband walked out of the door, and I was connected to a parish.
Mm-hmm.
I actually called our parish priest, and he had a meeting with me on the phone, and I asked him to talk to my husband. And after that, he calls me back, and he says, well, people change, and they fall out of love, and I can give you an annulment. Oh. And I was I was floored. I said, after 25 years, I'm standing on Matthew 19:6, that whatever God has put together,
mm-hmm.
let no man put asunder.
Right.
And I decided to get help elsewhere.
Yeah.
And God showed me a group who they were called Covenant Keepers,
mm-hmm.
non-denominational.
Right.
And I really got immersed myself in God everywhere. I had everybody praying for me, but even my mother said,
wow.
just leave the person,
right.
leave the guy,
right.
you know? And to make a story short, we did go through hell. My whole family went to hell, my children, right. everything. But I stood on it. by the grace of God, and actually the covenant keepers kind of came at me and said that my prayers weren't going to be answered because I was praying to Mary, and that kind of made me even kind of distraught me even more. I had to search myself and said, no, I'm going to start saying the rosary in my house. And our marriage got healed. We ended up going to they had a conference, and my husband came home, and I said, well, I'm going to a conference. You want to come with me? And lo and behold, I didn't think he was going to come, and we went there. But they were literal covenant keepers. They prayed in tongues. They prayed.
Well, Martha, I'm going to hold you on this point. First of all, congratulations on your story. It speaks to the power of grace, of sacrifice, and prayer to bring about healing. And I love it. We hear these stories all the time. I'm sure you do too, Layla. Bay, I'm sure you hear it as well. I think it's a message that needs to be promoted more. And I don't know how, are there efforts out there other than your ministry, Bay, or Layla? What can people do to really, I don't know, hear more of these stories so they can say, okay, I'm gonna use these spiritual weapons to heal my marriage?
Well, my hope is that priests are listening. My hope that parish, deacons, people who come in contact with troubled marriages, which really are just everywhere now, and that they will offer that one voice, because sometimes it just takes one voice. Like I said, we don't seem to have a systemic backup for these folks or support in the church, in the parishes, in the diocese. But I do hope that just by hearing this, we will be that one voice that encourages someone to stand, and then maybe that kind of will grow until we get to the point where someone who can do something about it actually does something about it. Because for now, it's up to the lay people and then the priests in the parishes.
Yeah. All right. Well said.
Drew, I put a plug in for Greg and Julie Alexander
at
the Alexander House in Texas.
Yes, and they're backed up months because they have so many couples, and that's the thing. We've got to have more. They've got so much on their plate, and they're doing a fantastic job. I love Julie and Greg.
For those who don't know their story, they've been on the show a number of times. They both were unfaithful to each other, and through the grace of God, they were able to work through that and heal. Now they're helping other couples do that. And I don't know their website offhand. I think is it alexandrahouse.org or .com? They've got a ministry that's out there.
Yes. You could probably, do a Google search or something, but I think it's Alexander House or The Alexander House.
Yeah, here it is, thealexanderhouse.org. Thank you. My producer, Patrick, just put that up. I've got to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll talk more. We'll take a few more calls. Again, Julie and Greg Alexander, the Alexander House Apostolate, they've saved literally thousands of marriages over the years and are inundated with requests from very desperate couples looking for the help that they need. We'll be back with more right after this.
Wish you could hit rewind on that convo? Listen to the podcast on relevantradio.com or anywhere podcasts can be found.
Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
His power is made perfect in our weakness. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, so good to be with you today. Fascinating conversation. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the hidden martyrs of marriage, those who remain faithful to their vows even when their spouse abandons them or leaves them for one reason or the other. And if you missed any part of this conversation, maybe you tuned in late to it. Maggie will have it up when we sign off. Give her a little bit of time to get the podcast up. But I hope you'll check it out. I hope you'll share it with others. I hope you'll tap into the resources that are out there. I hope you will pray for those going through these difficult and very troubled marriages and relationships. My guest today is Layla Miller. And Layla, before we take another call, we had a tweet that came in, off-air caller. Oh, it is line three. All right, well, let's do this. We will go to Joseph in Minneapolis. I think he is actually on line three. Interesting question here for you particularly. Joseph, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for these two blessed ladies and the work that they're doing. You're truly a gift, and you're helping save souls. So So thank you. My question is I wish I could formulate it as well as I would like, and being a layperson and not as familiar with these matters as both of you are, when I listened to the first half hour today, one of the things that went through my mind was, oh, could Relevant Radio please play this half hour at least once a week? And then I thought, why, you know, at least once a year could we hear this from our priests, you know, in our homilies? And then even beyond that, Bay, with the things that you're talking about, you know, be it our bishops or what takes place, for lack of a better way, I don't really know the terminology in the seminaries and the dioceses, but why isn't what you're talking about part of the curriculum, not only for our priests, but I would think for those who are going to become canon lawyers and work in the tribunals across our country, because right. what you're saying is truth, and so many people do not hear it.
Joseph, thank you. And let me throw that back to Layla. Bay is at a leave right now, so she's no longer with us. But Layla, I want to pick that up. Have you spoken at seminaries? And what's formation like there? I can't speak to that. I'm not quite sure what's happening in our seminaries.
So I know from when I did speak once for the Alexander House, and one of the a wonderful priest there, Father Ken Grassi, was also speaking there. He's a Fathers of Mercy. And he said to me that the seminary teaches a lot about how to spot what could possibly lead to annulment. Like, okay, this couple's struggling. Oh, well, maybe they need an annulment. You know, there's this, this, and this reason they could get an annulment. He said they really didn't learn how to help save a marriage. So I think we have it backwards. We have to learn how to save these marriages, because families are at stake, the future's at stake, the children are at stake, the fabric of society, the church is at stake. So that's a problem. The seminary formation, I don't think, deals with this. And number two, the canon lawyers of the tribunals, to me, and again, this is my personal opinion, it's a mixed bag. I talk to people in the tribunal. Some of them I've interviewed anonymously, and they're on my blog, you know, discussing mm-hmm. the problems within the tribunals. And then I've also been invited to speak to the volunteers and teach some of this to the volunteers of a tribunal in one particular diocese. So that's probably pretty rare that they would want me to speak, but this is just a really great opportunity to explain all this to the volunteers, so that what we're trying to do, hopefully, is see if we can't reconcile or help them see that, you know, marriage is permanent, and let's find a way to help them rather than, you know, help them back into the marriage rather than help them kind of out of the marriage into the new romance.
Got it. Hey, thank you very much. Jody is listening in Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you for waiting so long. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Hi, good afternoon, Drew. Good afternoon, Layla. My question is, I feel very awkward as a spouse that has, my husband and I were married for 14 years. And when he left for this young woman that he's now currently civilly married to, he developed a very new agey sort of philosophy, as well as this young woman has. My husband and I have a daughter together, mm-hmm. and she was his civil wife. This young woman was also married previously to being married to him civilly. And they're always having get-togethers, even with her ex-husband and then their kids together with her ex-husband's wife and current wife and their kid. And so it's sort of like, I just need to get over it. Like, you know, mm-hmm. people get divorced all the time, Jody, you know, you know, this is, you know, you need to embrace this. You need to mm-hmm. move forward. And I'm 48 years old, and I've even had friends have said, oh, this gentleman's interested. And you know, it's sort of isolating because don't feel very supported. What would be your recommendation? I don't like going to these get-togethers, and it's not at all difficult.
Well, it's so, you are in one of the most difficult situations in this culture, and it is, there's a combination of shaming, you know, condescending to you, shaming you, and, you know, tempting you. So all of those things need to be just rejected. I mean, you are standing at the foot of the cross. You're standing there with Christ, the ultimate abandoned spouse, and you are showing fidelity to your children and to the community, to the church, And it's going to be very painful. I would not do anything that you're uncomfortable with. If there's a way you can detach, like I always talk about a holy detachment, just, you know, if you can cultivate a holy detachment to be able to do whatever activities you have to do, perhaps with the children and your husband, but not to be swayed by what the culture is telling you or what these people are telling you, whispering in your ear. It's not, they may not even know any better. I mean, that's the thing. I can't ascribe bad motives to them, but it is a bad thing that they're doing, even if they think it's for your good or for the good of, you know, your children or whatever. But stay strong, because the graces will come and you will be sanctified, and it's only within our sanctification that we can change the community we live in or the family we're in. I always say it takes one saint to change a community, just one, but you have to keep going towards sanctity, and it's going to hurt.
Thank you so much for your advice. I appreciate it.
Jody, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Our heart's with you.
Okay? Thank you.
God bless you.
He's a hero. These are heroes. In my mind, these are the heroes.
It stops remaining faithful, knowing that hey, if my wife had left me, I believe we have a valid marriage. I would remain faithful and pray for her to my dying breath, you know, and that's the way it's got to be. And that's another element of this conversation that we haven't really talked a lot about, but it's really key, and that is prayer. I mean, we suffer through all the indignities that come with this and the temporal temptations and needs that one has. But when you couple your suffering, your sacrifice with your prayer, I believe it reaches the throne of God in a very powerful way. And those prayers do not go unanswered. Let's pray for one another. My thanks to Layla Mueller. Until we talk again, remember God loves you, and so do I.